This is Community Voices on 91.9 UIS. I'm co-host Randy Eccles. Today, an old friend, Ben Bedford, and a new friend, Vanessa Lively. Thank you both for joining us today. Vanessa, you haven't been here before. You're in the area. Are you from here originally?
No, I'm from Austin, Texas, and that's where I live. This is definitely my first time here, and I'm excited to be here.
Welcome to Illinois, and Ben, we know you.
Here I am.
I think you've been touring around Nashville here in Illinois. You headed back to Texas. Are you from Texas, Vanessa?
Yeah, so I'm from Texas. Originally lived in San Antonio when I was really little. I lived in Laredo. For the past almost 20 years, I've been in Austin.
How did you and Ben come together?
We're both in the folk music world. We met years ago at the Kerrville Folk Festival, briefly, and had very close mutual friends. Kept crossing paths between the festival, which I attend every year and Ben had gone to a few years in a row. That's where our paths crossed, were in Texas.
Lately, you've been working together. You actually even have a new single out together.
Yeah, I'm embarking right now on a recording and Ben and I are working on this project together. We've recorded a few songs already and have another batch of maybe 5 or 6 coming up. But we released one of them from the sessions that we just did a few months ago, and that's called Red Wolf. There are a couple songs that we've worked on together as far as like co-writes too. So it's been really fun to just do much more collaborative work and play more together.
I see that you have guitars. Before I ask you to play that, tell us a little bit behind how this song came together.
Red Wolf, I joined a songwriting group in Austin that's called the 1159 Songwriting Group. They would give a prompt every 2 weeks. You'd turn in a song and that lasted for the first quarter of the year. One of the prompts was Endling, E-N-D-L-I-N-G, which I had never heard of, but this is the last of a species. In that little tiny fortnight period that I had to write this song, I also was in a student conference with my son, Jeremiah. He was telling me all about this project he did on the red wolves that are dying, going towards extinction. I was like, well, that's obviously what I'm going to write about. Ben just left Austin. I sat with that prompt and all of the facts that Jeremiah shared and basically did a deep dive into the red wolves and wrote this song, Red Wolf.
Ben, when you started playing with Vanessa on this, how did you have to approach it?
I am not a side person by nature. I've been approaching these songs that either Vanessa wrote or we've written together from more of a side person approach, which has been fun. So it's made me sort of stretch, and I've been trying to find like different interesting chord voicings to go along with.
For people who might not understand that difference, who aren't players, being a side person, what does that...
Yeah, like an accompanist. Like, I'm a singer-songwriter, so I'll do my solo thing, and I'm sort of the front person. But if I have a fiddle player or a guitar player play with me on my side, they're my side person.
Following you.
Yeah. Embellishing, lifting the songs to a different realm than they might go if I were playing solo.
Well, show us how this one lifts.
2, 3, 4...
You leave us with
Red Wolf, the latest single out by Vanessa Lively with Ben Bedford on it. We're thrilled to have you in the studio. Ben, we've gotten to talk with you a lot before, so I've got some questions I really want to find out from Vanessa. Like, I don't see artists always listing that they have a mission, but I saw basically a mission, and it looked really cool to me. Can you tell us a little bit more about that?
It's just that I've always approached both my fine art and my music and songwriting from a heart-centric place, always. I always have held this kind of like quiet prayer in my heart as I wrote or painted that it would somehow just bring a little bit more solace, peace, connectivity, healing through the work that I do to some degree, because I've just always had that desire in my heart. And it kind of comes through, hopefully, in everything that I do, is this compassion and understanding and empathy. In 2017, I started a nonprofit, and they asked for a mission statement and a vision as part of becoming a nonprofit. With that, I was thinking about the mission and the vision of this music group I was creating and this program for unhoused individuals in Austin. But then it made me think, like, what is my mission statement just as an artist in general? I sat down and wrote one. I don't remember exactly when it was. I thought it would help me even keep a compass of sorts, where if I just said it out loud and I wrote it down and I put it out there, that I would maybe really remember to check in. It's pretty effortless for me. I think I'm always sort of checking in and staying in alignment with my mission, but it also felt good to put it out publicly. Be like, hey, this is my reason for existing in a way. And I think it's quite apparent in how I live. I'm so much about community, about friendship and collaboration. We were just talking about Ben and him saying like, oh, I'm learning to be a side guy. What I find awesome is when we sit down to work on a song together, it's so much about like finding what piece he's going to bring that almost then feels inseparable from the work. Like, it's not just like, oh, he's a side person. It's actually bringing a whole new element and layer that then I feel it missing when we're not playing shows together. I'm just like, oh, I hear Ben's part right here so much. And he writes these parts less than just playing around. He writes parts to the music, and they are so beautiful and unique because his writing is that way.
We see so many people, it seems to me more than it used to be today, who put out music who also have a featured artist on it. And a lot of times that's a marketing thing, but it's also collaboration, right?
Sure.
And so it's not as much sidemen, right? But it's collaboration.
Mm-hmm. For sure.
Ben, have you enjoyed this collaboration? I mean, it fits with the mission that Vanessa's talking about.
Definitely, yeah. I've enjoyed it very much. Vanessa really helps bring those elements, those sort of things out in me, to my desire for community and connectivity. And I lean in sort of a hermit-like direction myself. So
wasn't that on one of your album titles?
It was, yeah. Yeah, fully embracing of my hermit nature on that one. It's really fun. I love playing solo. I love doing the solo thing. It's like kind of its own animal. Playing as a duo and creating these parts and having this melding is really fun.
Well, why don't you give us another example?
Sure.
Yeah, let's do She Calls the Wind. This is one that Ben wrote, and then I just joined him one day on the front porch.
I think it's going to be on the new.
And we're going to put it on this next project, this next album of mine, but this will be a song that Ben wrote.
So I can say I've been covered by Vanessa Lively.
I was like, do you say it's a cover if you're also playing it and singing
maybe
it?
Not,
I think you're just
not
playing it.
This one's got a nice challenge to it, too. The verses are in 13 time, so I like to say, if it derails permanently, because I can't find my way back. Summons the morning star from the tilting gyre. Wings, dark the sun, split the pinion pine in a thunder song.
You've been obviously playing together and collaborating, doing some really great music, getting to tour a little bit, it sounds like. Do you enjoy that?
For sure.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Yeah. Yeah, the last little tour we went on, it was especially fun because we got to take my cat, Darwin.
The infamous Darwin.
The infamous Darwin, yeah, yeah. He's a, you know, man about town. He went with us, went through Tennessee and Georgia and Florida and then Alabama, Louisiana, and to Texas. He did a little driving. only in Alabama and Louisiana.
Thank goodness for those automatic driving yeah. features now, right? One of the things I read, Vanessa, is that you're also bilingual and have done that in your recording and writing.
Yeah, I love to write in Spanish and English, and I hadn't yet written a song that had both in one, but I noticed a lot of people would use both English and Spanish in one song. So this album actually has a song called The Circle that is both English and Spanish. And I felt like thematically the two songs that appear on this record that are in Spanish, one is called Mi Grito, which is, you know, my call, like my yell. Or, you know, there's a grito in like mariachi music and it's like, ay, 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 that type of thing. But I was using it like to mean my unique voice, my unique sound, and also my purpose and finding it in this lifetime. So Mi Grito is about that. It really was about bringing my Mexican roots and my heritage a little more front and center to everything I do. I grew up in Laredo and then San Antonio and I have a huge Mexican-American family that is, culturally speaking, that was very much what I was immersed in. And it colors who I am and it also colors my music and my cultural way in the world. I have found myself keeping them quite separate in a way, with this album in particular, sort of wanting to play with bringing it more to the center. And so The Circle is about bringing what I was thinking of as my Latin fire, but to my English being and singing.
Since you were born, you spoke both languages?
Yeah, I wouldn't say that I'm like extremely amazing in Spanish. I still stumble around almost like a young person speaking in Spanish. Like I make grammatical errors here and there for sure, but I can definitely communicate and get by. And I lived in South America for a couple of years. Of course, I was only speaking in Spanish there. And when I was really little, I would speak in Spanish to various people where they only spoke Spanish. It's been a huge part of my grandparents spoke English, but they'd speak Spanish when they were just speaking to each other pretty regularly. The woman that took care of me when I was really little, she didn't speak any English, and I communicated with her. When my kids were really little, I would discipline them in Spanish. I just noticed that was where I went to get into this different voice and be like, I mean business. I'd be like, you need to stop doing that. I'd say it in Spanish, and I was like, oh, I have almost like a different personality when I speak in Spanish or sing in Spanish. The Circle and Mi Grito are about like, what would it be like to try to blend it more and bring that part of me forward, a little more fire and passion.
I always wonder when you are bilingual, do you think in both languages, your internal voice?
Yeah, and when I moved back from South America, of course, it's been such a long time that I am right at this moment in time, I'm wanting to get reacquainted because it has been so long. I moved back home January 2007, so it's almost 20 years since I have been in South America living. But when I came back, I was speaking to people in Spanish, people with cowboy hats and cowboy boots that were like, had a twang, and I'd be like speaking to them in Spanish as my first go-to, and then they'd be like, what are you saying? That was because I was so used to just living in Spanish, and then I was dreaming in Spanish almost entirely.
Wow. So when you're writing, you're not really translating, you're writing within...
Oh yeah, when I write in Spanish, I'm definitely not translating. When I translate, in fact, I'm like, oh, that does not sound correct. Because in Spanish, there's like a passion in that language, even in just the words and the way that the words are put together, that when you translate it, there's a flatness sometimes. I have learned to study Pablo Neruda. There's a book that I have that is love poems, and it has the English and the Spanish side by side. And they've found a beautiful, someone who translated it so beautifully, where they capture the essence and the lushness of the language, but into English. Uses a lot more sensation and feeling words, words that are rich with some sense.
Yeah.
Sensory words and language. And when you just do a straight translation, it can fall so flat. And I'm like, that lost all the passion.
Which I think, in my opinion, any kind of writing that incorporates a lot of sense, hearing, taste, smell, obviously sight, I find that to be just more enjoyable.
It's way more interesting.
Writing in general, whether it's in Spanish or English.
One of my tasks is to work my songs from Spanish back into English, but to actually sit down, I might do this with Ben. Ben's really good at sensory language, and we could like sit down and be like, that's the word that it is literally, but I want to capture something broader, rounder.
Yeah.
Fuller.
Did you come prepared to play one of those songs?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we could play
The Circle.
That'll be in our next batch of recording sessions when we go back.
Release a single or so as you're getting ready to release the full album later.
Yeah, the reason I released one single at the moment was because I got a grant from an organization in Austin called Wavemakers. They really were the people behind funding that project, which was the single. So then I wanted to give out the product, what their gift gave to me. So that is why I was in a kind of a hurry to get Red Wolf out to the world. It's possible, because the release date for this album might not be till January 2026. It's possible that between now and then we might release another one or two, just as a way to get people familiar with the songs as they're ready, and then put the full project out later.
We're looking forward to hearing this is in Spanish.
It's in both. It's English and then goes into a little bit of Spanish at the end. Circle within the circle, triangles riding high, create a color pattern of pink and green and sky. I see the light come shining through old stained glass in space, suspended wheel hub spinning around the dancing waves. Circles just like this catcher of sun. I feel the metric pattern around my spine undone. I'm ready to toss the excess, invite the calming space for all my wild adventure with ease and peace in spades. Estoy liberando las cosas que no me traen alegría. Estoy sacando lo que hay dentro de mí. Voy a iluminar mi camino con mi fuego interior.
Vanessa Lively and Ben Bedford with The Circle. Thanks for playing live in the studio for us. It's very exciting to hear you guys working together. I love collaborations. You've got other things you've been doing. You're going to be back touring and out of the area soon, but do you have another song you'd like to play for us and
sure.
Tell us about?
This is a co-write.
This is a co-write that we borrowed the melody from, I knew as the Huron Carol, which was written in Quebec in like 1643 or something like that. They had stolen the tune from an older French song from like the 14th century.
It's old. The song is about that too. It's about how song and sound and melody can go above and beyond boundaries and generations and space and time. That's kind of the magic and beauty of it. Oh, and the song prompt was Magic with a K. It was from the 1159 songwriting group. Ben was apparently like, that's how you spell it in Wiccan traditions or things like that.
All right.
So Ben was in Austin, and I was like, oh my gosh, typical for, 1159 deadline. But I was like, I've got a song due today. We have got to write one.
And we wrote this for half an hour or something like that.
Which is really fun.
Which is kind of great, yeah. It's not my normal way.
It can happen.
It can happen, yeah.
Sometimes it's just magic.
I like to tinker and pull things apart, so it's nice to just do it.
On the sound a word does ride and carry into water, cross the ages, cross the land, through all sons and daughters, generations rise and fall, languages beyond the wall, melody weaves through it all, like magic that has brought her.
What's next?
Next is recording the rest of the album. We're doing that in September. We're planning out our schedule for the next 12 to 18 months, trying to decide where we want to go and balancing being here and being in Austin and in between. And
it's really fun to like think about how we're fully in charge of how we put our music out in the world and tour and everything. And so it's been really fun to just sit down and get creative about where we're going to go. And we're going to be doing a couple of folk music conferences and various shows on the horizon, but it's all just going to be really a lovely adventure.
You've brought joy to me today, being able to listen. The pandemic, like so many things, took the energy out of the momentum.
I still feel like I'm trying to rev my engine and get like the momentum that I had in 2019 going again.
It may just be the new momentum.
I'm tired.
I feel like what everyone did in the pandemic was a great review of like, is this really exactly how I want to do everything? And is this sustainable? And is this good on my body? All that. Mm-hmm. And I just think that every musician kind of went there.
A rare opportunity to evaluate whether we need to be on this wheel that's spinning all the time.
To realize that we can fully decide how we do it and make it super and extremely sustainable, balancing like home time and quiet time. And because a lot of artists are as social as this job is, a lot of the artists are sensitive introverts as well with an extroverted side, which is odd. You go out and socialize all the time or are not at home, and then you have to like kind of recharge your energy. Always a balance. And I think that sometimes the songwriter rhythm can end up being very out of balance with being out and constantly giving out. It's nice to be like, oh, we can mold and shape it however we want.
Your career has been based out of Austin mostly?
Yes, and pre-children, I definitely was on that kind of out much more often, but I'm a Libra. I have always been about balance. I, from way back, was like, I need to have time to just sort of be at home and in my community at home, not always out on the road. I would go to Western Europe every year, had a record label there, had booking agents that I worked with there. That was back in like 2007, 8, 9, all the way through. I went even pregnant, 2013. I was like, I'll be back every year. And they were like, will you though? And I was not.
We don't have rooms for kids backstage.
It's kind of challenging. Beyond the logistics of it, it's hard on the kids. And that was what I was most mindful of. And my son, Jeremiah, was born with clubfoot. He needed medical attention right away. 2 weeks he was in surgery. He was 6 weeks. He had like surgery and went under, which I was like, oh my gosh. I had shows on the calendar and I canceled everything. I flew out for one of them, but I canceled everything else. It slowed me way down and brought me kind of to home in a new way. And that was 2014.
Ben Bedford and Vanessa Lively were so kind to join us today on Community Voices. Where does somebody get your music?
It's on all of the online platforms, of course. And then there's also Bandcamp is a way to purchase the music and CDs. It'll alert me to send one via mail. I'm on Bandcamp. People can just reach out directly as well via email, VanessaLively@gmail.com.
I found a website also at VanessaLively.com.
Yeah, there's a website with most everything on there. And I know Ben as well has benbedford.com, and all of the music of his is also online everywhere.
We'll put links to both those at nprillinois.org with the link to this segment.
Thank you so much for having us today.
Great to see you. Nice to meet you. And we really enjoy the music. I hope everybody goes and explore some more online.
Thank you.
Thanks, Vanessa. This is Community Voices on 91.9 UIS.
I am not broken.